Without trust, society stagnates.
Economies decline.
And businesses fail.
My Security Media believes through security,
trust between individuals,
organisations,
and government can be maintained. Welcome to the
Cybersecurity
Weekly Podcast.
Welcome to My Security Media's Cybersecurity Weekly Podcast, and we're at Sydney at the DCD Australia Conference at the ICC, the International Convention Centre, joined by Tony Gaunt, the Senior Director for Colocation Cloud and BFSI Asia. We'll come back to that, Tony. And Robert Linsdall, the Managing Director for the Australian New Zealand arm of Vertiv. Gents, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, good morning.
Rob, being a sort of country manager or managing director for ANZ of Vertiv, maybe introduce the audience to Vertiv, because I understand you went through a name change. Sure. From Emerson. And we're going to talk about data centres, trends in data centres, and then we'll touch on data centre security as well. So, Rob, introduce us to Vertiv.
Thank you. Thanks, Chris. So, about 18 months ago, Emerson Network Power was bought by Platinum Equity, so we're now owned by private equity. At that time, we rebranded to Vertiv, and we got those nice new pretty colours, the orange and grey. And as you can see, our marketing is significantly everywhere, and we're very proud of that.
You've even got orange and almost grey glasses.
Yes, my daughter said that to me when I came back with them from Europe.
That's how you got the job, I imagine.
Yes, maybe.
And Tony, you cover Asia as well.
Correct, right? I do, yes.
And what's BFSI?
So that's the banking and financial services and insurance sector.
Yep. Okay,
so
got it.
We chose to link the two there with the colo, the cloud, because historically the BFSI vertical is very much a customer of the colocation sector.
Okay, and we'll talk about trends that you're seeing as well. Rob, we've been here this morning. It's really good, I think, from a security aspect. It's good to see security put out there quite early in the agenda when we're talking about data centres, and now we're talking about edge computing, edge networking, and security's a fundamental there. What are you seeing, firstly, in data centre trends, in terms of the edge, and data centres getting small, more mobile, more quickly installed, and then also from a security, what are some of the security implications going alongside those trends?
Sure. So I would say edge is really in its infancy here. I mean, the main story at the moment still is primarily co-location cloud. It's really driving a major part of the Australia-New Zealand business. But what we're starting to see are some, I don't really like to call them pilots, because I think, as I showed on a couple of the case studies this morning, the fish farm and the city council, people are beginning to design, knowing full well that they're going to need assets close to where the customers are. Okay, in the fish farm, the customers are maybe fish, but it's all about understanding, using IoT to understand what's going on in the ocean so that they feed the fish correctly and properly. And monitor those trends and run some AI sequencing on it, which requires data centers close to where their customers are.
Well, you're almost pushing that HPC, the high performance computer, out right next to their operations room, and it's not even an operations room now. Now it's just a sort of a workstation with multiple screens there. There are security implications in that. I mean, I noticed with the fish example. You got two operation rooms or operation centres right next to their data centre. So how does that go in terms of both access, how are you controlling access to that computer, and then also, I suppose, redundancy? What if that goes down? What's the implications?
Okay, so two questions there. From a security, a physical security point of view, that site is as secure pretty much as a standard co-location or cloud provider or on-prem for that matter. But from a redundancy point of view, that's built in. They've actually got some, there's N plus one actually on site, and then they've also got another site where they can back up from a DR site.
Yep.
I think the bigger risk really is not so much an example like that, but as we start to see edge data centers move into true edge, i.e. retail centers, and which we have a couple of examples, then that data center is a hub and spoke model. And the hub will be very, very well looked after, and the spoke needs to be looked after. And it's probably more of a physical security problem than a cyber security problem at this stage. And looking after those data centers does need a different mindset.
I can see the same thing. Going back to, say, the fish example, I think you can imagine you can control that network. It's obviously a new setup, and so it would be quite difficult to get into. You'd have to be quite sophisticated.
It's totally private.
But I suppose the other implications for enterprise or business to think about is once you're starting to do that high-performance computing and have that capability, the insights to the business, you know, are enormous. So obviously you have to really protect that data and understand that the importance and the sort of the value of that data, it really becomes understanding how you're keeping it at rest, that data at rest, and making sure it's fully protected.
But it's all protected by, I mean, so long as it's on their network, it's all protected in the same way, whether it's in multiple sites, you know, provided it's encrypted and well looked after. Yes, I guess you could go in and steal the micro data center and then hope you can get into it. But usually there's information in a core as well as on an edge, and it's, you know, you would hope. I mean, I can't speak for them because I'm not their IT guy, and they're probably lucky that I'm not their IT guy. But you would be holding parts of the keys, if you like, in different places.
Yes. Well, I can appreciate you at your end, you're putting the data center and the capabilities in their hands. You're right. Let's hope it's not just an IT guy who's looking after the whole business. Let's hopefully they do have a security aspect into that insights. Tony, in terms of outside of Australia and into Asia, what are some of the trends you're seeing? We've had some of these discussions earlier in some interviews that we've done. There's some key countries out of Asia that are really sort of, you know, ASEAN region that we're seeing some real changes in. So what are your observations?
We're seeing changes all the way across Asia. Yeah. You know, if we take the more data center developed in terms of size and scale, you know, Australia, Japan, Singapore are the clear leaders in terms of especially cloud adoption. So data centers now being built 20 megawatt, 30 megawatt, 50, 100 megawatts becoming quite normal. Yeah. If we're going to China, we're looking at 200, 300 megawatt. But what's really interesting about, especially you mentioned ASEAN countries, is as those countries are starting to develop now, there's a growing need for data centers. There's a gestation there where data now is, everybody needs it, everybody's using it.
Yeah.
But we're at different levels and generations of data centers. So in the ASEAN countries, we don't see the size I just mentioned, but the prevalence and the opportunity. You know, we think of countries like Thailand, where we have a lot of distributed population. Indonesia's similar, 230 million people. Yep. So we could almost start to think of the edge, just jumping on Robert's comments about the edge, it could well be villages, islands, towns in countries like Indonesia, not just the large data centers we see everywhere else.
Just on these smaller data centers, and particularly like the pods and those types, how, because there's another major earthquake in Lombok this morning, so Bali's getting hit. How are they set up for, you know, because I imagine, you know, think about Southeast Asia, a lot of floods, a lot of earthquakes. Are the pods set up like that? Because obviously, you know, if you think about the old design of a data center, you put a lot of that thought into, you know, resiliency, data disaster recovery, business continuity. Whereas if you're putting pods everywhere, those kind of that thinking may not happen. Particularly, you mentioned, say, warehouse, Rob. Are they set up for that type of
seismic? Yes.
Seismic, right? So the pods we're referring to that we would provide
can definitely be
seismic. But when we're talking about natural disasters, and we've seen this sadly all around the region and all around the world, you cannot be 100% resilient for a natural disaster. That's the reality of the case. So, but we're all still learning this. The industry, everybody, communities, societies are learning this as to what works, what doesn't.
Although those pods look quite strong, it looks like you could get a hardened pod for a hostile environment, right?
Correct.
That's correct. Also, we could, because you could actually put it into a module.
Yeah.
And there can be some. We've actually built military grade pods.
Yes.
With maybe 8 racks inside of them.
Well, you mentioned the ship as well. Yeah.
Yes, that's right. So what will happen is that they'll, instead of building it, they'll still build it to a similar design to that, but they'll actually put it in the modular. We build those. And then they could be put on the back of a truck They can be taken to a battlefield if necessary. So, mm-hmm. you know, if you want to build resilience, you can build resilience.
Yeah.
But it has to be part of the original thought process. I mean, correct. You're right. If you were to take at that three-rack smart row that I put up there sitting in a warehouse, of course, yes, you can make it seismic, but it's not going to prevent something falling on top of it, or if a flood comes through, I mean, you just have to build in your disaster recovery the same way as you would anywhere else.
I think that's the only thing I saw in terms of the speed that you can put a sort of a small data center in is often it's that type of thinking and planning often gets cut short too.
Sure. So we actually have a really good example of that. So Hobart recently suffered some major floods.
Yeah.
And I won't name who it was, but they lost their data center. The flood water went actually through, took out the data center, everything.
Right.
And we're working right now with them on putting in a pod design, and the turnaround time to put that data center in using that technology, the modern integrated solution, rather than a standard room build, we're halving the time of implementation.
Well, I think also, I for any enterprises listening, they'll also need to potentially revisit their disaster recovery business continuity planning, because, you know, if that DC goes down, they may have to they might be able to bring that period to a shorter period for recovery.
Correct.
I'd imagine, you know, in terms of being weeks potentially, they could be bringing it down to days.
Yeah, well, we could deliver a 6-rack data center in 2 weeks.
That's pretty incredible.
Yeah, provided it's in stock. And, you know, we have
provided it's sitting on the shelf.
Because we put the building blocks in there. You know, yes. It's a bit like, if I may say, the old Dell model, where you had certain components, and you know, we know that we want perhaps 30 kilowatts of cooling. We know that it needs to be 4 racks. So we just basically bolt it all together with the appropriate sized UPS in there, and you can roll it in. We actually have done in 48 hours, we've had the micro data center, the little one up, but we've actually had I think it was a 4-rack smart row up in 2 weeks.
Great. And you obviously pre-configure these, or you configure them on site?
Depends on, again, what the customer wants. Mm-hmm. What we would do is we would transport it to site, and we would generally build it on site. The smart aisle actually could be rolled in on a big truck.
It is an interesting thing, because I think if you think about data centers, we have to now think in terms of edge. The data centers are now moving out to the edge. I liked the example used this morning in terms of the honeybee type of example, the hives, of how we think about the architecture and the ecosystem. So it's a very interesting space. So it's vertivco.com. So vertivco.com. And I was joined by Robert Linsdell, the Managing Director for Australia and New Zealand, and Tony Gaunt, the Senior Director, Co-location, Cloud, and BFSI, which is
Banking, Financial Services, and Insurance.
Beautiful. Okay, thank you very much, gents.
Thanks,
thank
Chris.
You. Thank you.
Thank you.